Greetings to all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now let us turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel. We continue to learn about prayer and how befitting our responsive reading was. It was truly an earnest cry of the psalmist, earnest prayer for God to help. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now we learned last week something about Hannah's prayer. Today, books written on prayer, today, Bible studies on prayer is often about, well, prayer is a formula to get what you want, what you desire from God. That is all. Now, I'm not saying that prayer is not that form of activity that God ordains that we would receive things from Him. If you ask not, you receive not. But this idea that it is a formula to get whatever you want or need from God or desire from God, now it's incomplete. We learned last week that when Hannah prayed for the very one thing that mattered to her, more than the love of her husband, more than food, more than anything, to obtain that from God. But, well, what was her principle? God, will you answer this prayer? And if you do, then the result is all for you to use. Is prayer a formula to get what we want and need from God? Yes. What we want and need from God, so that God can use it for His kingdom. That must be the reason why we pray. Then we also learned in the previous week, Christian, do you have a life of prayer? Do you have routines in your life? Do you have closet prayer? Do you have the various kind of prayer in your life throughout the day? Praying without ceasing, always in communion with God. Do you have that kind of prayer? Do you have set apart time? Whether you're a housewife, whether you're a grandfather, whether you are a working person, do you have a set apart time, students, where this is uninterrupted time that I carve out in my very busy daily life, that it must be there, my closet prayer, uninterrupted communion, focus on communing with God. Do you have that? Is it there? Throughout the day when you're interacting with people, do you have the kind of prayer that you're always in your heart shooting a prayer to God to keep you from saying things that are wrong, doing things that will shame Him, constantly thinking of God's help in prayer? Do you have a routine in your life? Routines are very important. By now, I really hope and I really pray that all of us have begun to put a routine of prayer in 2023. You don't start now, you'll never do it. Make that change. Is that routine there? Now, but today, we want to learn another aspect of prayer. Now, while routine is important, we must also not let routines become rituals, or rituals become routine. There must be an earnestness in prayer. Now, look at Hannah's prayer. Look at Hannah's prayer. It came to pass in verse 12, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Now, what did Eli notice? Well, she was like someone who's drunken. And when questioned, now what was her answer in verse 15? I am not drunk, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. I have poured out my soul before the Lord. My friends, prayer must not be simply, well, I have done that, I will now check the box. But it is cold prayer that will not even move our own hearts. Now, however you want to use the word, routines means something that you ought to do and you ensure that you make it part of your life. That's a routine, right? Now, ritual is something that is meaningful. Ritual is something that is that has religious, that has spiritual significance. That's a ritual. But I know sometimes we use the word ritual means people don't, it's just something they go through, that's all. However you want to use the word, but really the word routine is you just do it without thinking, but it must be part of your life. Ritual is something that you should do with a spiritual attitude, all right? Now, while we implement routines and rituals of prayer in our life, which must be present, men are always to pray and not faint, we also need to ask ourselves, now, what is our prayer really like in those times when we come before God? It must not be, all right? This year, I think I'm doing quite well so far. I kept all my prayers. But what was really in your heart? What was the attitude of the heart, especially in your closet prayer? What was it? Is it time to do that? Kneel down and then do it? That's it? Well, Hannah from the Bible, we learn a prayer from Hannah. She poured out her soul before the Lord. What is this kind of prayer? Today's title is earnest prayers. Earnest prayers, not just routine prayers. Earnest prayers. That is such prayer in the Bible. Effective. Effective prayer. Now, in fact, God tells us that the earnest prayer, effectual, likewise, the earnest, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So please know that. That is earnestness, effectual kind of prayer. How do we learn these characteristics? What are they like? Now, we use the word pour because she poured out her soul before the Lord. Pour, to help us remember. So every time we pray, Lord, my heart is cold. Lord, I need to pour it out before you. What is it like? Well, we start with a P. We start with the P. Now, look at verse 12. And it came to pass, so it's not pass, huh? As it came to pass, as she continued to pray, continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now, the Bible says, it came to pass as she continued to pray. Verse 11 told us that she prayed. Well, that was already a very earnest prayer, Lord. Right? She was pleading in the bitterness of soul. She prayed to the Lord. She wept before the Lord in verse 10. And she said, Lord, well, this is a really serious prayer. Lord, answer my prayer and have this child. This child will be for you to use. That is already, well, by our standards, wow, what a wonderful prayer. Now, but did it end there? No, the Lord says, and it came to pass as she continued to pray. It did not end there. Now, the word continued praying. Now, what is this word? It means to make much. So she made more prayer, much prayer, to multiply, to increase prayer. So when God says, and it came to pass, now God is saying that she did not stop. It came to pass, she continued to multiply her prayers. She continued to increase greatly or exceedingly in her earnestness in her prayer. There was the weeping, there was the soul bitterness, and there was the pleading with God. And God says, she began to enlarge more and more of that kind of prayer. She was passionate. P. Passionate. You know, sometimes one of our problems in prayer is this. Well, okay, Sarah, if it's God's will, it's God's will. Then we pray, all right, God, if you want, then if, right, you do it, okay, right, okay, go up. Now, I'm not saying that that is necessarily evil. Yes, it is a sign of faith. It can be a sign of faith. Lord, I'm struggling, but I leave it with you, and I don't want to think about it anymore. Well, if it is true, that's fine and well. Now, but sometimes the Lord tests us in prayer. The Lord may not answer straight away. Seek, right? Then knock, right? And the Bible talks about earnest prayer, effectual, fervent prayer. The Bible does talk about that. You say you receive not because you ask not, right? You were not pleading. You know what? Seeking. You know, even coming to the point of knocking, pounding on God's door. Like we read previously, the God does test even the importunate woman, right? She came to plead for something. And Christ, not that Christ was unloving, uncaring, and Christ is looking down on her, but Christ tested her. And Christ commended her. So there is this situation where, Lord, the Christian must ask, is my prayer, are my prayers very cold? It seems to be just a routine. I have said my prayers, all right? Saying prayers, like the Lord's Prayer. Every time you say it, what is in your heart? When you come for prayer meeting, when you pray each item, is there this earnestness, this passion in you for the item? God looks at that. God looks at that. Now, there are prayers, of course, like when we eat, we give thanks to God, all right? I'm not saying you must be passionate and then you kneel down and then you weep and then you hang on to the table, that kind of things. Well, maybe there is a place for that. If you have not received food for a long time, I think you will do that. Right? The way you pray, it will be like that. Sometimes we take it for granted, our thanksgiving. And I say to my shame, sometimes I sit down and eat, there's so much on my mind for the day. Then after that, I was about to eat, then I have to ask Sharon, hey, do we give thanks? Oh, that's terrible. It means that I prayed without any meaning in my heart. Right? Passion, not necessarily crying, weeping like Hannah, but there must be a passion in you. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, please, right? So there is this need of passion, not cold, formal, that if someone was sitting next to us, like in prayer meeting, right? Sometimes you hear someone pray. Sometimes in our heart we think, even my heart is not moved. Why would God's heart be moved? There's no passion in our prayers. You hear children when they want something from the parents, when they need something, you hear the tone of voice. Just a few words, your heart will be moved. Oh, the passion in them, right? So, Christian, we really need to learn this. Is there passion in our prayers? Prayer meetings every Tuesday. It is very easy for it to become a routine that we just say those items without meaning it. It ought not to be so, all right? So let us in 2023 be more passionate about each prayer item. That's when God hears. If your prayer has no heart in it, why would God want to answer? Now, but I want to clarify as well. In my very first church, all right, in my very first church, over time, a man came in, all right, and well, he became very active in church, very zealous. Then slowly in prayer meetings, now he became very passionate. They said, Pastor, isn't that good? No, it was a very loud screaming. He shouts when he prays. And he tells us to shout, goes around telling, why are you praying so soft? You have no passion. Shout. Must pray very loud. Everyone was just screaming. Then we worship under a block of a government apartment. Every time prayer meeting, we have to lock the doors, close the panels, everything. And sometimes people walking past, they bang on the door because they're so upset. Right? I was a very young Christian. I thought, oh, this is how to pray. All right, then I'll pray like that as well. Right? I'm not talking about that kind of ridiculous passion. Not the louder you shout, the more God will hear you. Now, but anyway, look at her. Now, her prayer. Was there any noise coming out? No noise, actually. In verse 12, Eli marked her mouth. All right? Verse 13. But her voice was not heard. It's not about how loud, all right? It's about the passion in our hearts. Now, in fact, she was so passionate about it. She was oblivious to her surrounding. Oblivious. Eli was there, nearby, watching. Now, her heart was just so intensively focused on the prayer that she brought before the Lord. She probably didn't even know. She was maybe swaying. Well, the tears were coming down. Her lips were moving. And you know, to the point where Eli mistook her from being drunk. She was not trying to be very prim and proper. And I want to say, I'm not saying that we should not be prim and proper. Please don't come to prayer meeting or in your home passionately, you know, rolling around the floor. That kind of, we are not talking about that. And be oblivious, all right? Roll around the floor. Well, there are some prayer meetings like that in the charismatic realm. We are not talking about that. But she was not so much concerned about her surrounding, about how she may be looking. That was the passion in her soul. You know, sometimes you're very passionate about something, you talk to someone, you plead with the person, and then some people stand aside and then they start smiling. You say, what are you laughing about? They say, oh, look at the way you're acting. All right? You will even be moving in certain ways. Now, when was the last time you prayed like that? What is your closet prayer like? Any passion at all? Or went in, done that? Or maybe even dozy when you pray, keep dozing off. Oh, but not time yet, so need still to finish the time. Do we doze? Right, so there is a place for passionate prayer, something that you earnestly need to plead to God for. Passion. Now then we move to the next one. All right? The O. The outpouring. Now she say, I've poured out my soul. Not poured out my words. Poured out my soul before. There is the outpouring of the soul. Not just words to God. Now, Christian, we need to learn. We need to have prayers like that. Maybe you're a young believer. I'm not asking you to be strange. Neither does the Bible teach us to be cold, formal, very conscious of people. Oh, there is this opening and bearing of the soul before God. That is Hannah's prayer. Now, Eli saw such things and say, well, are you drunk? It seems like such passionate outpouring of the soul in prayer before God is something so alien to the time, to the Israelites now, that Eli would say, must be drunk. That's the only conclusion. Now, earlier on, when you see the life of the prayers of God's people early on, you read about them rending their clothes, dust and ashes upon them, groaning before the Lord, prostrate before the Lord. Now, Israel has come to a time where the priest is so uncommon, such passionate outpouring, that to him, must be drunk. That's all. It's very sad. Now, are we also like that? This such kind of prayer is so absent in our lives. Yes, we can get so concerned and so worried about we must not be like the charismatic, howling like dogs, writhing around the floor like a snake. Yes, of course, we are not talking about that. We should not do that. But we must not go to the other extreme where we think that outpouring of soul is not part of prayer. Now, what is this outpouring? Now, look at your Bibles. And Hannah answered in verse 15. Now, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. In verse 16, count not the handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Now, what is she saying? What is this pouring out of the soul? The abundance of my complaint and grief. There is the outpouring of the soul. Now, it's not the outpouring of words, the abundance of words, but the abundance of the complaint and the grief that she poured out Now that is what moved God. The outpouring of the soul of Hannah that moved God's heart and therefore moved God's hand. That is what it is. It's not the abundance of words that move God. Christ had to teach his disciples, don't be like the Pharisees. They stand in the corners, they make long prayers, means abundance of words. It is not that, my friends. Now, I'm not saying abundance of words is always wrong, but it is, when it's empty, it is nothing. We have to ask ourselves, is there the abundance of the outpouring of our emotions, our pleadings, our heart, our griefs to God? Now, I know you're thinking complain, right? Complain. What is this complain? Hannah shouldn't be complaining. We learned that we shouldn't complain to God. Now, please know that the word complain has more than one meaning. Today, complain means upset, murmuring, complaining, accusing. That's all. Even you check dictionary, check English dictionaries. Now, complain can also mean an expression of grief and pain. So, this context would mean that. She was definitely not there to accuse God, right? To argue with God, to scold God for shutting up her wound. But this was the complaint and grief, right? The two words together gives you the context. It is an expression of deep pain in her heart. Lord, this person is treating me like that. Lord, I have to go through all this, right? My life is very difficult now. Expressing the vexation that she's going through. Now, Christian, are you going through something in life that is so difficult, so worrying to you? Maybe some news that you receive, maybe some upcoming thing in your life that you know is going to be a big trouble. Whatever it is, or you're already going through something like Hannah, very, very difficult, trying, vexing your soul. Do you know that there is sometimes the greatest tool that God uses to drive you to a passionate outpouring experience of prayer? Now, if not for this situation, we would know that probably Hannah going up to Shiloh to offer sacrifices with the husband, nothing much, all right? But now she had an experience of prayer that she will always remember. Now, sometimes God will take us to that point to teach us to experience such blessed time of outpouring of our soul before Him. We'll see, actually, for Hannah, after the outpouring, what happens? You read just now. After this outpouring, her countenance was no more sad. The outpouring of the soul. Sometimes that is what God will lead us to. So this is not, in the morning, I say my prayers. Around the middle of the day, during my break, I say my prayers. In the nighttime, I say my prayers with my parents, with my spouse, myself. I say my prayers. Now, this is really bearing your soul. God hears. God knows. God understands your cares. God understands your troubles. Now, sometimes we at a state, have you experienced such prayer where you can't even, like Hannah, can't even have words? Her mouth moved, but no words came out. Well, the New Testament talk about such prayer, right? Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. That is why she looked like she was drunk. People don't do that. But it came to a point where she mouthed certain words. Or maybe even the words cannot come out. Just groanings. Christian, do you ever experience, when was the last time you brought before the Lord something that is so trying in your life or your family that you know such prayer? Because the Bible, God says, the Spirit given to us is one of the reasons for praying with groanings that cannot be uttered in times where our hearts just don't know how to pray about it anymore. We have run out of tears. Our hearts are broken. Well, groanings that cannot be uttered. Again, I want to clarify all these things because there is a lot of funny things about prayer going on in Christendom. Groanings without, that cannot be uttered is not tongue speaking. It's not praying in tongues. In the first place, it cannot be uttered. There is no utterance, right? But a lot of people say, oh, tongue speaking, tongue praying in tongues. So you say, oh, I don't know how to pray, then I just go, the Holy Spirit is working in me, then all these Holy Spirit helping me to pray. It's groanings that cannot be uttered. It's a totally different thing, right? So please don't mistake this and go back and try and practice tongues, praying in tongues. Cannot be uttered. Now, this is a lamentation. What kind of prayer? It's a prayer of lamentation, complaint, lamenting what is happening. Lord, I do not understand. But Lord, I know you are the all-wise God. But these things are very difficult for me to bear. You lament, all right? Not complain, and there's a big difference. Lamentation, lamenting prayers are powerful, meaningful form of prayer. You know what is a lamenting prayer? This kind of prayer that she has pouring out her complaint and grief before the Lord, her expression of pain before the Lord. Now, it is a prayer of that shows that you truly take God as someone you confide in. Someone that you turn to, that you will pour your heart out to. Now, you don't do that to anybody, right? Even some close friends, you don't pour out your heart to them like that. It's only those who are very, very close. And when someone pours out their heart to you, you know that the person has great trust in you. Great trust in you. Closeness with you. Now, why is this prayer of Hannah not the abundance of what? The abundance of outpouring of emotions, genuine, heartfelt emotions move. Why does it move God's heart? Because it tells God, you are the one I run to. Hannah could go there and, Eli, you are sitting by the temple door. Eli, and then drop before Eli. Please know the high priest at the time are very, very powerful, all right? She can go cry before him, Eli, and then pour out her soul to Eli. You know, Penina, you know that Penina with my husband that came up this morning? But no, she went to the Lord. She went to the Lord, lamenting before the Lord. Who do you lament to? Yeah, of course, close friends, spouse, parents. But let me ask you, when was the last time you lamented before God? You poured out your soul before God like Hannah. Now, there's one thing that is very amazing about this outpouring of your heart. Now, Romans 8:26, I read that, but I want to read Romans 8:27 to you as well. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, what? According to the will of God. He maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now, please don't think that outpouring of your heart means, well, then God must do what you want. That's what children do, right? They know when they cry, they get what they want. That is what they do. Now, of course, this is not what it is. But when you have reached a stage where you don't even know how to express yourself anymore, in such a heavy burden, and you cry to the Lord, you know what God says? The Holy Spirit not only helps us to pray with groanings that cannot be uttered, means you will be praying. There will be thoughts that come to you. You will pray to God. Have you experienced that? I have many times. The Holy Spirit just leads those thoughts and those prayers to God. And you pray those thoughts to God. But not only that, he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Is it not true? You see, Hannah, in the outpouring, now her aim was, Lord, vindicate me. Help me out of this situation. But with the outpouring, you notice how she prayed in verse 11? She said this. Now, if thou wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, according to the Spirit. She no longer just prayed, Lord, give me, give me, give me. But Lord, give me and I will wants you to use it for your in your temple, for your kingdom. The Holy Spirit guided her. So please don't pray. Say passionate means, wow, we plead, we cry, and then God must give me what I want. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And when He does, don't resist it. Pray aright. She could say, she prayed, give me a man-child, Lord. But when the Holy Spirit moved her, that I will give it to you. She can resist. I don't want to. You must be crazy. I ask God for what I want. The only thing that that matters to me in life. And then I pray, Lord, you take it back. Must be ridiculous. But no. In her outpouring. So don't think that outpouring is passionate arm twisting of God. God, you have to do this. So don't misunderstand that. You will have a very wonderful experience in prayer where you will pray prayers that are very, very amazing. You must experience that. Now, I'm not talking about visions and dreams, all right? But Scriptures does talk about this. Have you known that? I often pray my prayer, Lord, if only I could preach like I pray. Because sometimes when I pray, the thoughts that comes to my mind and the things that I begin to pray about are things that are so biblical, so wonderful in understanding of God's Word. It cannot be from me, but from the Word, from God Himself. Do you experience that? When you, Lord, you cry for something, and the Lord begins to lead your prayer. Because you don't know how to pray. You will pray amiss. Now, before we move on, I do also want to make clear this thing. There is this common and popular teaching about prayer, all right? Now, let me read to you some of it. And like this one, I think, is written by a famous Christian songwriter today. You know? Now, I say, there is no wrong way to pray, all right? So you say, oh, Pastor, is it passionate, right? Or cry before the Lord, right? And he said, there's no wrong way to pray. Just say it like it is. God can take it. Now, what do they mean? Just say it like it is. God can take it. So, no wrong way. Just go, kneel before God, and just whatever is in your heart, passionate, right? Just blurt it out. If you're not happy, complain. And they take verses like that to say, complain. You see, the Bible teaches you to complain to God. God, I'm here to complain about you, you know. Why did you shut up my womb? You know, because you shut up my womb, you know how terrible my life is. God, why did you do that? Is Hannah praying that? Complain? It is not that. So what does it mean? God can take it. They protest. Even accuse God through prayers. It's an act of faith. And these are common. You can find many of this in books today. Books written on prayers, website on prayers. Easy to find. Complain, protest, and this person say that protesting and even accusing God through prayers of lament is act of faith. Now, this is ridiculous. Our Father, do you accuse your Father? Which art in heaven, the God of heaven? Hallowed be thy name. You are the glorious, almighty, infinite one. And here we say, oh, no wrong way to pray. So please don't read this kind of rubbish and go back and say, Lord, you know, I learned about complaining. Maybe I complain and you will listen. You know, sometimes it's like that. Right? You buy something, it doesn't arrive. Until you complain, then they do something about it. Or the food comes, it's really bad. Until you complain, then they do something about it. So with God, it's the same. Complain and accuse. Now, this is terrible, very terrible kind of theology when it comes to prayer, right? If you ever had that idea, please erase that once and for all. Now, she was broken before the Lord. She was so humble before the Lord. If, let me just prove to you. Look at verse 11. Look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget me. You know what she's saying? I have nothing to demand of you, let alone accuse you. I have no right to ask anything. If you remember me, means would you pay attention to me? Someone who wants to complain, accuse, don't say, will you pay attention? I expect you to pay attention to me. Then what? And not forget me means, please do not bypass me. This is not complaining and accusing God. All right? So, please understand that. But ask ourselves, is there any passion, is there any outpouring in your prayers?
my prayers.
Now, even when you give thanks for the food, there should be this, an earnest, genuine outpouring of thankfulness to God. And when God answers your prayer, there must be this earnest and abundant outpouring of your soul of gratefulness to God. Now, God, thank you. That's it. How do you feel? Sometimes you do something very, someone pleaded with you, you did something difficult for them, and then after that, thank you. And then walk off. That's it. There is no passion. There is no outpouring of gratefulness. So, Christian, we have to begin to really ask ourselves, what is our prayer like? In our closet prayer especially. This time when we are alone with God like Hannah. Do we have that? You pray so much for your child or for your parent or for a sick loved one or for a job or for something. After God answered your prayer, is there any outpouring? Outpouring to Him? But, or cold? Even if there is, it's just cold. Thanks, that's all. Passion, outpouring. Now we come to the you, all right? Quickly, the you. The you. Now you... Now back to verse 16. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken. Now what did she outpour? Complaint and grief. Now, she unburdened her soul. Right? She came out to pour out her soul before the Lord, not the abundance of what, but the abundance of emotions before the Lord. But there is content in it. All right? There is a content. She unburdened specific things to the Lord. My complaint and my grief. Now, the fact that God, she continued praying before the Lord. There were things that she continued to utter in her heart to the Lord. And she just summarized that to Eli and said, my complaint and my grief. She didn't say specifically all the things. She didn't mention Penina, she did not mention every year when I come up, it's like that. When we go home, it's like that. She just summarized and said, my complaint and grief. Unburdened. Is your heart overwhelmed with something? God hears. God understands. God cares. Would you unburden to Him? See, the thing with us is this. We are very quick to unburden to people. If you're honest, you say, when I think about it, I told the person more about the problem, my complaint and my grief. I told the person more than I actually told God. Yes, I must pray. I prayed to God already. Then quickly pick up the phone or run to someone and then just talk the whole afternoon. We are unburdened to people. Now, what is this definition of outpouring and unburdening? All right? Well, even dictionary tells us, Cambridge Dictionary, to pour out, unburden your heart is to tell someone your secret feeling and things that worry you. We sang about telling it to Jesus. That's also our closing hymn. Are you weary? Are you brokenhearted? Tell it to Jesus. Do we tell it? That's the thing we learn from Eli. You know from Hannah. When Eli asked, did Hannah then start to give all the details? She is not so much concerned or desiring to unburden herself to Eli. Eli is the high priest, all right? She summarized to him, but she would unburden to the Lord. Now, are there things? We sometimes feel that, I think, so one is we are more keen to unburden to people. Now, that shows this. What people think, what people may be able to help you is more important to you. You think that they can help, or you think that they can comfort you. But Hannah only sought that from God. Now, the second thing about this is we often don't unburden because sometimes you may even feel this is not for God to deal with, right? I will go and deal with these things myself, talk to people, then go and deal with it. Now, do we unburden to God? Is there something that is really troubling you now, my friends? Something in the family? Something in your personal life as a single? Something at job, something about whatever it is. He says something. But really ask yourself, have you, like Hannah, gone with passion, the outpouring of your soul, and unburden that specific thing to the Lord. And like Hannah, rather than keep talking to people, you spend, like Hannah, continued praying an extended time on that matter, unburdening to the Lord. Very often we don't have something, we are in need of something. We must now learn to know God cares. Now remember 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. You know what's this casting? This casting is like, you know, they take the horse saddle and then they cast it on the horse, put the burden on the horse. That's the picture. Casting, unburdening, and that was what she was doing. Unburdening to the Lord. And the Bible says, casting all your cares upon Him, and He encourages, for, I tell you why, please unburden to the Lord. Don't, not people and all, for He cares for you, for He careth for you. God really understands, God really knows, and God is the only one who can do something about it. Now, this is something that even in our daily lives, do you unburden to God? What is your prayer like with God? Is it throughout your day talking to, really talking to Him about anything and everything? There are many things we don't unburden to the Lord. This problem in school, this problem at work, this problem in the home. We just deal with it and then carry in our heart and we're heavy. Something that happened to my child. My child is changing. We just carry in our heart. We don't unburden. Learn from Hannah. Right? Learn from Hannah. Be very honest before Him. Completely emptying yourself before Him. Unburdening your heart to Him. Now, there are areas that I think we need to unburden ourselves, need to pray earnestly to the Lord for. Because we often think, well, these are when I have troubles in life, like Hannah, and all that. Now, I think there are things that we really need to cry to God with passion, with outpouring of the soul, with unburdening to the Lord. You know what that is? I think, well, first and foremost, our prayerlessness. Do you know how serious prayerlessness is? It is very serious. When God says men are all to pray always and not faint, it will make you faint. It is very serious. But we don't seem to care about it. We care about, well, children's illness. We care about not enough money, not having enough money. We care about not getting married or getting married. All we care about many of these things, we outpour. But the most important thing that we need to outpour to God now, I believe, in our lives. Cry to Him, plead to Him, Lord, I have a big problem, Lord. I am not prayerful as I ought to. My prayers are cold. My communion with You is, if it exists, it is, there is no connection at all. It's just cold formality. Lord, I've hardly this kind of closeness with You. I think we need to start crying for that. You see, this was very important in Hannah's life because she faced the pain. Therefore, she was passionate. She outpoured. She unburdened. But I think we need to go and tell God honestly, openly, unburdening our soul and say, Lord, I have a serious problem in my life. As a mother, as a father, as a single, as an elderly, my prayer life is very bad. Are you worried about that? Now, very often when I counsel people who say, I'm struggling with this sin, I cannot overcome it. Pastor, I don't think I will ever overcome this. It's too long with me and I've tried all sorts of things. It failed. I won't overcome it. Now, instead of crying to the Lord, many just give up and give in. She could just give up and give in. Anything I do, useless. No use, Lord. Instead of crying to God, she just take revenge or whatever it is. But she cried to the Lord. My friends, is there some besetting sin in your life? Is there something in your life that you feel that you cannot get over? Have you given up and given in and just moved on? You know, this Earnest prayer is coming to the Lord. I'm burning, Lord. I have this secret sin in my life that nobody knows of. Oh, Lord, there's this sin that everybody knows of. And I'm struggling with it. I failed all these years. I'm burdened. Specific. She was specific. What are my complaints? What are my grief? She specifically brought it to the Lord. Same as we learned in DHW, right? How King Hezekiah unfolded the letter before God and he prayed specifically. Unburdening is specific. Now, Christian, I urge you, if there is something that you really want to get over, this is the way. Prayer. Cry to the Lord. Openly, honestly, admit it to the Lord. And ask the Lord to help. Can you open up a womb and make a barren woman have child? Can you open up the eyes of someone who is born blind, give an arm to grow with someone who is born without an arm or leg? You cannot at all, but God can. Then why do you doubt that God cannot change your heart? Now, she obviously would have been praying. I think we can rightly assume she's been praying for some time now, right? And God finally answered. Sometimes the answer is just around the corner. We unburden a bit and then we give up. You know, when you need help from someone and you know the person can help, you don't stop, like I wrote about importunate prayer, you do not stop going there to unburden. And God says, if the unjust judge would respond to the unburdening of a woman, why would not God? So Christian, please, learn to have this kind of prayer. I think I'll just list the coldness of our walk with God, the lack of love for Him, the besetting sins, the failures as parents. Have you cried before the Lord? Lord, I failed as a parent. Lord, nothing I can do. The failure as a single. Lord, my life as a single has been a failure. Oh Lord, this is area that I need to do more of. Have you been failing in something? Do these things burden your heart? Because they are not important. We keep thinking all is fine and this is the best. That's why we don't have burdens. What about burdens for soul this Thursday? Lord, my heart is cold. My heart has no interest in soul winning. Lord, I am a very sickening Christian. You saved me for the Great Commission. And I don't bother. Lord, please, I'm unburdening you before you, Lord, honestly. I'm ashamed. Please change me. I hardly share the gospel with my friends at work. They don't even know I'm Christian. Lord, I'm so ashamed of my unburdened specifics to the Lord. Now, when we sing the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's so interesting. What a Friend We Have in Jesus is actually a hymn of prayer, about prayer. Go read the words. It's about prayer. Oh, what needless pain. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. The needless pain. She had pain. She had grief. But she did not bear the needless pain. She went to the Lord and she was relieved. The needless grief that you carry about besetting sins, God can deliver. All right, now we have to move. R, quickly, R. Now the R is about real prayers. Real prayers. Look at how Hannah answered when Eli asked her, are you drunk? Right? In verse 14. How long will you be drunken? Put away the wine from thee. What did Hannah reply? Did Hannah say, no, I am praying. Well, she was praying, but did she say, I am praying? No. Look at how Hannah answered. Verse 15. And Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful heart, a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She did not say, I am praying. She said, I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16, count not the handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken. This abundance of grief and pain, I spoke to the Lord. She didn't use the word prayer once. Her communion with God, she did not need to say pray. It was such a real engagement with God. My friends, I'm not saying we don't use the word prayer, right? I'm not saying the word prayer is wrong. Please be clear about that. But sometimes we pray. But what is praying? To Hannah, this is very real engagement, pouring out of the soul, bearing out out of the abundance of my complaint, have I spoken? I turned to God. I spoke with God. Because sometimes we just pray. It becomes very formal and very, well, an activity of religion that we do with them. No, to her, it's really speaking with God. Prayer is speaking with God. Is that our prayer? So real, so engaged, I poured out my soul. Now, prayer is not supposed to be a prayer of theological terms. And don't mistake me for a moment, I'm not saying theological terms are wrong. It's good to pray biblical and accurate prayer. But it's more than that. Don't think that just because you're very biblically accurate, theologically sound prayers, then you have prayed. It's out of the abundance of the emotions of the heart. Prayer is not great sounding cliche phrases, nice to hear phrases. Neither am I saying they are incorrect, they are not good. I'm not saying that. Neither it is just well-articulated sentences. You know, sometimes I pray in the group. Some can pray very well. They can articulate the prayer item very well. But some, they pray, well, they struggle with language. But they're very earnest. And that although they're reading out the prayer, you can hear it from their heart. Right? They don't have theological sounding, nice cliche faces. Well-articulated, know where to put the comma and all that. Now, I'm not saying that well-articulation in prayer is bad, all right? But it's more than that. Now, it's not even prayers to move men. He said, I came to speak to God. Now, I want you to notice in verse 12, what is God's command? God says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. God says she prayed. But when Hannah said what she was doing, she was pouring out her soul. She was speaking with God. But God says, now, that is prayer. Hannah is praying. And Hannah, that is just what it is. It's real. A real engagement with God. And I want you to also notice, Hannah, she continued praying before the Lord. Before the Lord. And Hannah herself said, verse 15, poured out my soul before the Lord. This is a commendation before God. Before the Lord. Hannah was not there to impress Eli. Eli, I'm praying, Eli. You're the high priest. You want to hear my prayers? It was before the Lord. Real prayer is before the Lord, my friends. Whether it's a prayer meeting, in your private prayer, you must be conscious, I am before the Lord. You know, there's a book that I read once, and I'm not trying to be mystical and be careful about this. I think it was Praying Hyde, all right? Now, he was a very well-known Christian, and very well-known for his life of prayer. And very famous preachers during those days longed to invite him to their gospel outreaches or their churches. Because they will say, Mr. Hyde, can you please come? Can you please pray for my ministry? Can you please pray for this church? Can you please pray for this gospel meeting? So they had a big gospel rally, and a few well-known pastors were there, famous ones, and then they managed to invite this gentleman to come to pray for the gospel rally. And they were surprised to find a very small, weak, frail-looking man come. They thought it would be a booming voice, prayer warrior, very famous. And then he said, all right, we are going to start. Can you pray for us? Right? So they all gathered, and then in the tent, it was silence. Then he waited 5 minutes, no sound. Then they just looked at one another and nothing. Waited another 5 minutes. They waited and waited. Now then finally, he started to pray. And many of them wrote testimonies after that. They say they heard prayers from a human that they've never heard ever in their life before. Very simple, but so honest, so real to God. It was like, they said, we felt as if God was really there and he was really speaking with God in person. They asked him, why the silence? He said, oh, was it very long? Oh, I apologize. Now, every time he prays, he takes the time in his heart to prepare himself. I am coming here before the Lord, before the Lord. It is real. This is not praying for famous pastors at a big global event. This is speaking with God. This is pouring out our need before God, before the Lord. Now, that is prayer, my friends. It's not routine, not a ritual, not a keeping of time. Those are supposed to be there. But each time he comes before the Lord, he will wait until his heart is so clear and conscious that he is realizing he is now in the presence of the God of heaven. It is so real to him before he speaks a single word, so that he's never disrespectful, careless, but very real. So my friends, we need to have this understanding of prayer. The Lord says, Hannah continued praying before the Lord, not before Eli, not in the temple. God did not say she continued to pray in the temple. She did not go home but prayed in the temple. But God said, before the Lord. And she herself said, I poured out my soul before you, Eli, before the altar, before the ark, before the Lord. My friends, we need to have that. Now, when you pray, let your prayers be real. When you ask for an item before the Lord, pray until you know in your heart, Lord, I have spoken properly with you. Don't just utter and stand up and walk away. Lord, I've uttered this properly before you. And pray until you know the matter is settled with God in your heart. Sometimes we pray, we know we don't want to move on to the next item for yourself, for the home, for the church. Before you move on, Lord, this thing, I just feel, Lord, that I've not told you about it rightly, properly, how important it is, Lord. You will know when you finish praying that, Lord, I've settled this matter, I've dealt with this matter properly with you, and I know in my heart you have heard, and I can leave it with you. And Lord, now I move on to the next item. Do you pray like that when you're praying for something in your life that is needed for the Lord, not just for yourself? Pray till you know it is settled with God. Pray before you pray, know that until you know that you're clear who you stand before. Who are you? Who he is? You're speaking to the Lord. Then you start praying. Now, I'm not saying you don't have prayers that you shoot up to the Lord, but we must have this kind of moments with the Lord every day in our quiet time. Real, not casual, but genuine engagement with the Lord. Sometimes we pray to the pillow. We pray, but our minds are not to God. We get up, it's like we pray to the pillow, we pray to the chair. It's not to God. It's just to those things. We said our prayers. It was not real. It was not real. Now may God help us to tell it to Jesus. Let us rise to sing the closing hymn. The closing hymn, 366. 366.